Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here today, and everybody looks beautiful, very happy. Everybody is looking like they're really excited to hear about fall prevention. And I'm so glad to be here to share that with you. On the slide here, it says, is mom frazzled by a fear of falling? And I have a mom that's 83. I can tell you that sometimes I can see that 65 plus, you may or may not have had a fall yet, but maybe you think that it could be coming, and what can I do to prevent that? So we're gonna talk about that. There's some statistics I'm gonna go over first, and I try not to bore anybody with statistics, but we'll just get some general information for you. So let's talk about our objectives today. First of all, let me say that falling is not a normal part of aging. And you may think that it is, but it's not. Actually, if you take care of yourself and do some of the things that we're talking about today, your risk of falling will decrease dramatically. So I hope you're excited about hearing what those things are. So as our population grows older, the likeliness of an older adult sustaining a fall related to injuries at home are increasing. And maybe that's true for you. Falls are the most serious and frequent home accident among older people, and they are a major reason for admission to hospital or residential care settings, even when no serious injury has occurred, and they are not a normal part of aging. So, let's review some things that we're trying to learn today. We're going to talk about statistics of falls, we're going to list some causes of falls, and we're going to describe the top four actions to take to prevent falls. And I'm going to just, I don't normally go off a script, y'all, so I'm trying not to move too much. Also, in one in three people 65 or older falls each year. And for those over the age of 80, the number is one in two. So 50% of those in the category of 80 plus may have a fall. 85% of those falls occur in the home environment. Every year, one of two adults living in nursing homes experience a fall. Now, you would think that would be not the case because they're in a nursing home, but unfortunately, because many of the folks that are in a nursing home tend to try to get up or they're unsteady, other things that they try to do, and if someone's not there, they can have a slip and a fall and end up hurting themselves. Make sure we're on the same. Two out of three of those who fall will usually fall again within 6 months. Can you believe that? But it's true. We see it all the time in our communities. And that's why when we have a resident that's had a fall in one of our communities, we immediately follow up on that resident. Usually it's because there's been a change in status. They've been sick or something else is going on with them, and we want to find out what's happening so they don't have another fall, so they don't become one of the statistics. Most falls do occur in the 80 to 89 year old age group, and 20 to 30% of those who fall sustain a moderate to severe injuries. You heard a little bit about the injuries earlier, such as falls that you can break your arm, your shoulder, other things that can break, such as hips. Those are end up in a hospital situation, having to go through rehab, and it's really hard for people in this age group to recover from those fully. So we want to try to prevent those. 20% of those, I'm sorry, I already said that. Also, they decrease in independence because of falls. So imagine that you have a fall and you break a hip or some other part of your body that puts you in a skilled nursing facility and you can't progress well enough to go back home. So now you end up in a more dependent environment, such as assisted living or something else like that. And most people don't really want to do that. So we try to stay at home as long as possible. And that's actually one of the things that Brookdale really, really tries to support, is that we try to do well aging in place, meaning doing well and successfully aging where you live in your home environment. So you don't have to use the healthcare system very often, hopefully, at least not for falls. So what are some of the reasons for falls? We talk about intrinsic types of reasons. Intrinsic meaning the things inside your body. Now, those can be things like, your vision, arthritis, things that are already there that you're having to deal with. Those are intrinsic types of things that may affect you physically that can contribute to falls. Then you have things that are extrinsic, which are outside of your body. And the extrinsic things are like your throw rugs. Everybody have those? Yes. So that's a common thing that we see. Too much clutter, things being in the way, cords that shouldn't be out where they're out that you can trip on, things like that. And we're going to talk about more of those things, and you actually have a checklist that you can review. And we're going to talk about the checklist when we're near the end here. But most falls have multiple causes. The sense of balance, of course, declines with age, and there's multiple reasons. Balance is a very complex kind of skill, if you want to call it a skill. It involves all kinds of things that your body is getting senses from, your vision, your feet. Things that we take for granted when we're younger start to kind of deteriorate. We get vision issues, we get hearing issues, ear issues, things like that, that can contribute to the falls. So our sense of balance declines with age, and the reaction time slows. I'm sure we've all noticed that. I've noticed that. You heard I was 33 years in this business. Yes, I'm starting to see some of those changes. And so we know that our reaction time to a fall, where when we're younger, even in our 20s, we might have tripped and caught ourselves. Now we don't catch ourselves so well, right? We can't adjust. So we have to be aware of that. Medications. Most people are on medications, and certainly that can affect balance. If you are on blood pressure medications, many times that causes dizziness. If you're on things for arthritis pain or things like Neurontin or Lyrica, some of the things that you hear on the commercials now, if you read the fine print or if your doctor prescribes that for you, most medications have a side effect of dizziness, right? And unfortunately, sometimes you need that medication. But when you're on four or more medications, it compounds the problem because your dizziness actually increases. So we talked about the medications, the home safety issues, and the health conditions that can contribute to falls. Those are all reasons that as we age, we tend to have some falls. So the additional risk factors that are intrinsic, the things that we have going on inside of us, are the things about previous falls. We'll talk about this. Debbie mentioned weakness earlier when she was introducing. Weakness, okay? You're not the 30-year-old that you used to be that's strong and healthy, and your muscles have kind of gotten weaker, right? I can certainly relate to that. It's harder to stay in shape, okay? And so weakness is a contributor, an intrinsic contributor to falls. Low vision. I don't know if you know what that term means, but in the therapy world, when we talk about low vision, it's the vision impairment that you get when you have conditions like macular degeneration or glaucoma. It's not necessarily just general eye problems that you wear glasses for, like nearsightedness or farsightedness. It's those other conditions that you have to compensate for because it's a disease of the eye that really no one can correct. So we call it low vision because we actually do therapy for it. You may not know about that, so we can talk about that after the talk today. But low vision can contribute to falls because if you don't see things in your environment as clearly as you used to, you're not getting that feedback of what might be in a problem for you. The other thing that we see is decreased safety awareness or judgment, and that's related to cognitive change. And we all go through some cognitive change as we age. It goes back to that reaction time I was talking about earlier, that things are just a little slower in our brain. And a lot of it has to do with the sensory changes of our vision and our hearing. But when we have that decreased safety awareness because we might be beginning to have some cognitive change, we're not always judging situations well. And so when we don't judge situations well that are possibly harmful, then we may not recognize it in time that it could contribute to a fall. Does that make sense? Okay. A recent hospitalization. If you've been in the hospital recently, then usually people come out of the hospital weak. You know, they say you're well, but you're well, but you're weak. And it doesn't matter how old you are, when you've been in the bed for a day or 2 days or even, you know, that limited amount of time, you lose your strength about 10% per day. Nobody realizes that. And especially after a surgery. A surgery, no matter how strong, how old you are, you're going to feel the effects. And you might feel better because maybe you had a knee replacement or hip replacement, but that progression back to being normal is a slower process. You need help with it. And during that time frame, because you're weak, you have more propensity to have a fall. The other thing, we talked about dizziness, and there's one other thing that can cause dizziness that's not related to medications. And I'm not going to get into too much about it. I'll just tell you it has to do with your vestibular system. Has everybody heard of that? The vestibular system has to do with the inner ear. And your ear has actually got some canals in there that have little hairs that help. It has fluid. And it actually helps to balance you here. It's like when you're on a ship and you get dizzy because of the waves and things. Well, that inner ear actually helps your brain to adjust. As you get older, you lose some of the hair cells that actually help monitor that and help to tell you where you are in space. And when you lose those hair cells, you actually get a condition that's called vestibular disorder, okay? And with that, basically when you get up fast and you have a change in position in your head, has nothing to do with medications, it has to do with your inner ear that can cause you to feel dizzy. Similar to when you're on a ship or whenever you're moving fast and changing directions really quickly. So you may find as you get older, which you would want to see an ENT for this, but when you get older and you get up from bed quickly, you suddenly feel your head spinning or the room spinning. That's usually a sign of an inner ear problem, and it's so common with aging. The thing is, it can be easily fixed. So that's the good news. The thing is, you need to go see the doctor. And the best doctor to go to is an ear, nose, and throat doctor. They're very familiar with that disorder. They can help you. There's some therapy moves that either an audiologist can do or a physical therapist can do. And in one or two sessions, they can fix the problem. And if they can't, they have medication to help. It's called Antivert, which helps with that vertigo that you're experiencing. So just wanted to share that with you. The last thing that can have an additional risk factor is the fear of falling. If you've fallen once, you're gonna fear, oh my gosh, because you know you're unsteady. You know it, right? And you know whenever you're doing certain things that you might fall because you did it before. So that fear alone actually is a risk because now you're gonna be more hesitant. And when you're more hesitant, suddenly you begin to think things a little bit more than you should. Unfortunately. So, most falls occur at home. Let's talk about some of those extrinsic factors. Encourage people to do something about in their home environment are things like loose carpet. Loose carpet of any kind, whether it be, a throw rug that has a raised edge compared to the rest of the floor, that can be a problem because you may not always clear it, meaning you may not get your foot past it before. Three tubs and floors. You don't realize, sometimes getting out of the shower or the bathtub, there's water on the floor, you don't see it, and suddenly you've slipped on it. So you have to be extra cautious in those situations. And the thing about that is that we always have over the years when you're taking a shower or a bath, but now your reaction time to that slippery floor has changed and you're not quick at responding to it so you don't catch yourself, right? So the other thing I really want to talk about is the last thing on this slide, wearing improper footwear, such as backless shoes, slippers, smooth leather soles, or high heels. Ladies. I have to tell you, I'm not laughing, but I'm actually laughing because my mother, who has had a few falls, thank God, nothing serious, but now when she walks out of the house and I'm looking at her feet, she's like, I know it, I'm just wearing these, they don't, because I've already told her, Mom, you cannot wear those shoes. they're pretty, but you know what? You are going to fall if you think, because you know when you're teetering on two little heels, I'm sorry, I shouldn't move, but you are really increasing your chance of falling. And with all the other conditions that I've just talked about, you wear little tiny shoes with a little heel and no back, and yes, they're pretty, but you are just asking for it. The other thing is when you don't have anything holding your foot in and you misstep, well, that shoe suddenly becomes a hazard for you. And it's mostly women, because we don't want to give up our pretty shoes. And you can still get nice shoes and, you know, cute shoes. She's saying no. I'm in that group now, and I wore heels today for the first time in a long time, and I hate them because actually they're not comfortable to walk in. You can't walk very far. And I'm not in that 80 plus group yet, but I'm going to have to give them up, and I'm okay with that because, you know, the thing that you run into is what do you wear with a nice dress, right? And we like to be stylish, and we just can't quite get away from it, but best you can. But remember, if you're unsteady, and we'll talk about, you know, what that means. A lot of you went through the screening for your balance. If you've got balance issues, you need to wear the most, the shoes that have the most stability for you, the best stability for you, that are not going to slip easily, and they're not going to fall off, or that are not going to cause you to fall. And I can't stress that enough, and I'll tell you why, because I see women in our buildings all the time with these shoes on, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're scaring me to death because of the way they're walking down the hall. Okay, off my soapbox. Medications. A single medication by itself may not cause balance difficulty, but when it's mixed with other medication, it can cause these things. Confusion. We don't realize it, but yes, medication. If you're feeling increased confusion after starting a medication, please talk to your doctor, because there may be an alternative. So confusion, decreased vision can be caused by medications. Decreased sensation, it can alter your sensory perceptions, your sight, your hearing, whatever. And dizziness or drowsiness. So when you combine all of these things together, you can imagine. Now if you compound that with taking four or more medications, you have a double, quadruple issue. And so you really need to talk to your doctor. Because the other thing I see in the 65 plus is that they don't like to be on medication. They also don't want to tell anybody they're on medication. And they don't even tell their doctor. And they go from one doctor to another, and one doctor will prescribe this, and another doctor prescribes something else, but neither doctor knows you're taking those medicines, and you don't tell them. And guess what? All of a sudden you're taking too much medication of some kind, and you're dizzy, and you're confused. And I see it all the time, and I'll use my mom as an example. I went to the doctor with her, and she said, no, I'm not taking any medication. I said, you're not? And I said, well, Mom, aren't you taking some? Well, yes, but he doesn't need to know that. Why not? Well, he didn't give it to me. So that's the thinking, but that's the problem. And so when a doctor doesn't know that you've been given, another doctor doesn't know that you've been given, you're in the danger zone, all kinds of dangers with that. So that's why you need to tell every doctor, every medication, I don't care if it's a supplement, a vitamin, some kind of natural herbal thing, whatever it is, they need to know everything because it can affect all kinds of things in your body, in addition to things that we just talked about. So that's my other soapbox is to make sure you're telling your doctor. Tell them. Tired. If you're feeling confused, if you're forgetful more than you used to be, you just can't quite wake up, whatever the problem is, they can help you with that. They may be able to lower the dosage or change the medication. So, we talked about vision, macular degeneration, cataracts, so forth and so on, which makes it more difficult. One of the other things we haven't talked about, if you have subtypes happened to you in the past, such as a walking or balance disorder that might occur secondary to a stroke or Parkinson's disease. And we do see Parkinson's increase with age. That is the second most diagnosed disorder or disease secondary to Alzheimer's. I don't know if you know that, but Parkinson's is. And with Parkinson's disease, you get a lot of mobility issues. You'll see rigidity, meaning that they can't walk with the flexibility that maybe you have now. They'll get a stuttering kind of gait, which is the way they walk. It's kind of a shuffling thing. So they have a much more, a higher risk for falls, Parkinson's patients do. There are medications to help with that, but it's a, one of those things that's balancing the disorder and the effects of the medication. But if you do have those kinds of things happening, or they later down the road that happens to you, just know that having a neurological issue such as a stroke, where you have weakness on one side of the body, or Parkinson's, you're going to have more propensity for falls. We see it all the time. Okay. So we're going to take a case study here, a scenario. Joan, 76 years old and lives alone. She has normal age-related changes with her balance, but has not had difficulty with falls. She gets the flu and becomes slightly dehydrated. Whoa. Dehydration, huge issue. And we'll talk about that in a minute after I finish talking with this scenario. She's slightly dehydrated and weak. She has a throw rug in her bathroom. During the night, she gets up to go to the bathroom, is weak, and trips on the throw rug and is unable to catch herself in time. She gets a few bruises and is fine, but does not follow up. It says therapy, but I would recommend doctor and then therapy, okay? This is a therapy thing, I think. So I'd recommend following up with doctor and then see what doctor recommends. But if you're weak, especially after the flu and all that, then therapy may be a good thing for you. Joan has now a great fear of falling. So she reduces her activity level, leading to weakness and further reducing her balance because she's not doing anything. So now she's at much greater risk for another fall. Let me just talk about dehydration really quick before we get into the four top things to reduce fall risks. One of the things we also see with, they don't drink water. You drink everything else maybe, but caffeine is one of those things that if you drink a lot of tea or coffee, it actually is something that gets rid of the water, right? Which isn't good because it contributes to dehydration. If you have issues, which many do, of continence, where you're frequently going to the bathroom for whatever reason, you may be cutting back on your hydration and your drinking. And when you do that, you actually get dehydrated. Okay? Dehydration contributes to weakness, contributes to low blood pressures, and with low blood pressures, you feel faint, and your potential for falling is higher. So it's important that you stay hydrated. Okay? So drinking water is the best thing. And yes, it does contribute to having to go to the bathroom more frequently, but there's things that you can do about that if you are having that problem. And that's another thing you want to talk to your doctor about. Okay? Now, let's talk about four top things that you can do to reduce fall risk. And these four things are up here on the screen. Exercise, having a medication evaluation, getting your vision checked, and evaluating your environment. Let's talk about exercise. Regular exercise. The benefits, and I think you know the benefits, but let's just go through it really quickly. I think in today's environment, we're hearing a lot about get up and move, right? Every age group. I mean, there's a whole issue, an epidemic of obesity in our country. So they're telling kids now to get up and move. Never had to do that when I was young. So we become a very sedentary environment. Our diet's not great. Of course, you had a wonderful lunch today. Thank you for Debbie. But you know, we just don't eat right either. So we don't exercise and we don't eat right. And those are things that over time, we really do have problems with condition and our strength. So why do we want to exercise? Because it increases strength and muscle mass. And we know as we get older, we lose strength and muscle mass. We just do. And it increases bone density levels. Bone density is important, so if you do fall, you don't actually break something, hopefully. If you have bones that don't have good density, then you're probably going to have a fracture or a break easier, okay? you have improved proprioception, and I don't know if you've heard that word in a while, but proprioception is one of those things that your whole body is integrating function better. It's kind of like when you were a kid and you used to be able to run and swing and spin. Your proprioceptive system kicked in. It has to do with your brain recognizing where you are in space, your vision, your ears with that system I talked about, that balancing system, your touch and how you feel things. Your proprioception is all integrated through your whole body. Your brain is recognizing all those signals, and when you stop moving, you lose that over time. It gets less and less sensitive. So that is one reason we want you to keep moving, because your proprioception and ability to sense things in your environment is part of being safe and decreasing falls. It also improves your coordination. I think that makes sense related to being able to not have more falls. Gait patterns, this is another therapy word. We don't call it gait patterns out in the general world, but it's really talking about how you walk. Gait patterns, how you walk. It improves the way you walk. You pick up your feet better. You clear the steps better. You don't miss things with your feet because you're not shuffling so much, so you're moving better. It increases your lung capacity, which increases your endurance. You can breathe better when you're walking and you can feel better. It also improves your self-confidence. So when you're self-confident in your body, you're going to be less apprehensive about falls. You're going to be more keenly aware of your environment. You're going to be more keenly aware of how you're going to handle your environment and your movements. So it's overall improving your general sense of well-being. And actually, exercise decreases your risk of falls by 25%. I'm going to share a study with you briefly that's not in these slides. It's from the Journal of American Geriatrics. It's in 2008. 9,600, subjects were studied, and they found that walking alone is not going to help your balance. I know that most people in the 65 plus, if they're walking every day, they think they're doing everything they need to do for health. And let me tell you, walking is phenomenal. It's wonderful because it helps you with your endurance and your cardiac kinds of things that you need help with. But when you start talking about balance, one of the things that I try to stress is that when you're walking, you normally don't walk backwards, right? You don't walk sideways either. Nope. You walk one direction, forward. And guess what your body gets used to? Walking one direction, forward. So then when you're suddenly thrown moved that direction very often. So it doesn't know how to handle that. The brain has not had to deal with that in quite a while. So one of the things you may have heard about recently that they're recommending for seniors are things like Tai Chi, dancing, and there's some other types of exercises out there. They're really recommending that seniors do more of that for balance. And why is that? Because with those types of movements, you're doing all those things you used to do as a kid. You're going through all different directions with your body. Your brain is processing things movement-wise that are in all kinds of directions, and your body's integrating movement the way it used to. So now your brain is retraining itself. Oh yeah, I remember how to do this. And guess what? That reduces your risk of falling. So integrative movement activities are so important to increase your balance. In addition to all the strengthening things. The other thing I hear people tell me is that, well, I do exercises. What kind of exercises? Well, I do leg lifts and I do those other things, you know, with the TheraBands and stuff like that. Well, those are things are good, but let me tell you where your balance begins. It's not just in your legs, okay? It's your core. All the stomach muscles, back muscles, all those things we hate to work out because it's not fun. But there's things you can do that actually are fun that will give you more strength in your core muscles. And core muscles are talking about the stomach, the abdomen, and the back. Because when that's strong, your posture's better, and it supports your whole body. It's not your legs. When this is weak, your legs are doing all the work. And there's no real strength upper body. And that's what's so important. People don't realize that. So let me summarize exercise. Yes, we want to exercise. We want to have integrative types of movements, such as dance or Tai Chi or something like that. And then we also want to focus on core strength and upper body strength, the whole body, right? Okay. So we talked about Tai Chi. Does everybody know what Tai Chi is? You've heard of it before? OK. kind of, sort of. Well, it's a Chinese type of exercise. It was developed years ago, slow, gentle movements, strengthens muscles and joints. And Tai Chi, this is based on a research study, reduces fall risk by 40%. That's that integrative movements I was talking about. But now there's things such as Zumba. They recommend, I've not done Zumba, but Zumba, Tai Chi, there's dance, any kind of dance, ballroom dancing even. You know, now don't go out there and do that today if you have already had falls or if you are even a risk for falls. What I would recommend today is if you don't have an exercise program and you've not done anything in a long time, but maybe just walk, then you need to get with a doctor first, make sure what kind of exercise program is safe for you. Then I would recommend that you say to him, would it be all right if I just saw a physical therapist to evaluate me? The physical therapist can evaluate you physically from head to toe. They look at balance, they look at integrative movement, and then they can make recommendations for you. It may mean that you need a little therapy first to work on some things, to get strong so that you can handle the exercise. And then when you're done with the therapy, they can recommend a program. We do this all the time in our buildings where we do the therapy and now we're like, Miss So-and-so, you're done with therapy, you're doing great, but now we need you to go to these exercise classes and you need to go frequently. That's the other thing I forgot to mention about this study that I mentioned earlier. They found that if you don't exercise the type of exercise I was talking about at least 2 times a week for 45 minutes, you're not going to improve. So it causes commitment, dedication. Okay, really quickly on the medication. This is how you do it. You take all your meds into your doctor, brown bag it, and just show it to him. And we've already talked about some of these things, about the vision, I mean about the medication and how the blood pressure is affected, things like that. On the vision, you need to have it checked at least once a year by an eye doctor. And balance is dependent on visual input. In preparation for talking today, you know what I did last night? Because I'm recognizing some balance. I'm preaching to you guys. I don't do everything that I need to do either, okay? It's a hard thing to be committed, especially when you're working full-time. It really is hard. But last night, I thought, well, I'm going to just try something because I wanted to bring this up related to proprioception and all this. Nice. Ooh, boy. I didn't last very long on one foot. And then I realized that my left leg, which has had surgery in the leg, it was not good. And I need to go back to that gym. I need to start working out. Okay? So those are things with the vision, just the vision alone. If you close your eyes and try to do something that you maybe did normally, it's not as good because your vision is providing input on how you are doing things in space. So when you have low vision, those other problems we talked about, then you're going to have more problems. So make sure you get your vision checked because things pop up for people all the time. Now let's get to evaluating the environment. Do a home safety check. Walk through each room and evaluate your safety hazards. Pay particular attention to lighting, trip hazards, and then think about if you need mobility aids. And mobility aids are things like grab bars, a higher toilet seat, those kinds of things come to my mind that are most often needed. If you need some adaptive equipment to help you with your balance, maybe you really do need a cane. If you do get a cane and you need it, use it. Because we see it all the time. Where they just park it over there and keep walking. And I'll say, where's your cane? Oh, I left it over there. I don't need it in here. And then they're walking around like this. Yes, use those things. So make sure we evaluate the environment and get the things we need to be able to help us, especially in the shower areas. In the home safety check, you want to keep your walking paths clear of clutter papers, shoes, pet dishes, clothing, electrical cords, and so forth. You want to remove the throw rugs. You want to check for loose carpeting. Be sure the tub has a non-skid surface and grab bars to hold onto. And then consider a handheld shower sprayer and a chair to sit down. You don't have to stand up in a shower if it's too difficult for you. Get some adaptive equipment. Shower chairs, handheld sprayer, those things will reduce your potential for a fall. Be sure there is good lighting in the home. Use night lights to light the path to the bathroom at night. Don't Don't rely on just no light. Don't rely on you finding the light whenever you need it. Go ahead and put a nightlight up, especially on the route to the bathroom. For daytime, have light shades or blinds to reduce glare, because sometimes glare is a real problem if you have vision issues. Keep frequently used items within easy reach, so you don't have to go and look for them all the time. If you're at a high risk for falls, consider one of those call devices that you see advertised, and there's many of them. But consider getting one of those that you wear around the neck. They now have one that will actually notify the emergency management services when you're out in the community if you have a fall and you're by yourself. It actually signals that you don't even have to do anything. They all have a various price points, but it is important that if you have a potential for falls or you've had falls in the past, you live alone, it's real important that you have some kind of response system that people will know that you have fallen. So what to do if you fall? Don't panic. Assess the situation and determine if you are hurt. If you are on your back and you don't think you're hurt, roll over and try to get up on all fours. Slide or crawl along the floor to the nearest couch or chair and try to get up. And if you can't get up, start calling for help. This is where that little device would be really good to have, right? If you're alone, slowly crawl to the telephone and call 911 or relatives. But if you're hurt, call 911. Relatives may not get there quick enough. And then consider an alarm, which is what we've already talked about. So action steps. Have a fall evaluation by a healthcare professional. Get active. Have therapy if you need it to get stronger. Do a home safety check or have someone do it with you. Show them the list and walk through it with you. Have your family help you if you can't get rid of things on your own. You need some help. Just ask for it. Modify your home to increase your safety. And then learn how to safely get up from a fall. One of the things we do, and I actually insist on this, when we get ready to discharge from therapy, someone's been in therapy, I ask them, have you asked them to get on the floor and can they get up? Because we had a situation in one of our buildings of a resident that was in assisted living, and she fell in assisted living. And she was there quite a while, and she could not get up, and she could not get to the chair by crawling to even get up. So I heard about this through our administrative team, and I realized she was in therapy and they were getting ready to discharge her. So I went to the therapist and I said, excuse me, but I don't think Ms. So-and-so is ready for discharge. Well, why not? I said, she fell on the floor and she couldn't get up. If you're going to fall on the floor, then we need to teach you, if you can't do it, how to get up, because it's going to happen again, and we don't want anybody laying on the floor for long. So those are the things that we actually do in therapy. If you can't get up off the floor by yourself, then maybe you need to think about maybe I do need some help, and therapy can do that. I want to thank you for today. It has been a delight to be here. I love this topic. I love this age group, and I love trying to help you to think about how you can stay healthy and live successfully for as long as possible. So take this into consideration. And really think about what we talked about. You have the fall prevention checklist on your table. We've already gone through all of the things that are on there, but do a home safety check. Think about what we just talked about and take action today. And I appreciate it very much. Thank you.